cliffcentral.com. Urban Culture Drive.
Hello, 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 everybody. Feels so good to be back, guys.
Yeah, at least just once off, you know, once a week.
Nah, no need to do it.
Feels good, feels absolutely good. We're live and well, large and in charge, well, as usual.
And you hang
every
out
every Tuesday from 3 to 4.
With, you hang out with your girl.
You're hanging out with your girl, Sue.
And your boy.
And your Jay. Boy, Sue.
Thank you. I love that.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Urban Culture Drive.
Oh, we're excited. I mean, we missed you the last show.
Absolutely.
And I can tell you there's something about not having your producer in studio that makes you feel like you're lost. You know, makes you feel like you're abandoned.
How?
Because remember, we've all like been off the job.
Yeah.
But Job was here.
Absolutely.
Job was on the job. And like, when Job's not here, like it's like, where do we go from here, fam?
I absolutely
but he was
it
checking in with us via WhatsApp, and he was like, guys, you guys had a dope show.
And
so
I even called in.
Yeah,
yeah, you did. But also, we thought we were stressing you out. So, like, I didn't say this to you, but, like,
yeah.
As soon as we wrapped the show, Les shows me a text. He's like, fuck. Job says something was wrong. Like, we didn't say something. You know, we left out a segment. He looks at me. He's like, Candace, please call him.
Okay.
And that's when I called you, and I'm like, Job, what's happening? Are you happy?
Now?
Are you fine? Is everything okay? Can we fix it? And Job's like, nah, dude, you guys did a great job. So
I was surprised why you were calling with his phone. And
I know.
He wasn't calling.
He's like, because he didn't want to deal with you.
I don't know. I never get
am I that bad?
Though? I don't get afraid of Job anymore. I understand that everybody has their ups and downs.
No,
you
no,
know what
not
I mean?
Afraid per se, but like you want to get it right. You know?
Am
but
I that bad?
You're not that bad. Trust
guys
me. I've had
you're
worse.
That bad.
I've had a professor before.
That bad Job.
I'm joking.
I love you to death. You're that bad.
I discovered something new this weekend.
What happened then?
You know, when you meet people,
give us all the dirt.
You guys
yes
are all like talking, and it's such an interesting vibe. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you eventually get to the socials, and someone's asking. So I asked somebody, so how many followers do you like have on Instagram? And they're like, 2,000 and something. And I'm like, oh, so you actually have, you can actually see the entire number. So if someone unfollowed you, you'd actually know. Oh my God.
Can you actually tell?
Yeah, yeah. It's like an entire number. So if you have less than 10,000K, you don't have a K. you don't have a point. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Wow.
At
me.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, there's a certain level of influence that Instagram requires you to have. So if you have anything less than 10,000, I'll look
you're
at
not
you
a
and be
thing
like,
you're not influencing.
So that's your life. So you
this you?
Less than 10,000. Oh my God. Like, really? So there's no point something. I want a K at the end of your number.
But you see, that's something
well,
that I
look
wanted to address, right? But I'll get to that because the social media thing.
Yeah.
I really wanted to address that. But I'll get to that. That's
mm-hmm
fine. So if you don't have a K, you mean nothing.
I didn't say that. I didn't
that's
say
that's
that.
That's what they say.
That's what he's alluding to.
I'm just trying. I'm alluding to that point, basically. Just trying to
he
say that.
He doesn't want to get feelings hurt.
I don't want to get feelings hurt.
In our presence today, we have people who don't struggle with not having K's.
Yeah.
Are we sure, though? Let's check them out.
Check it out. Check it out.
Do a little audit trail. You know what I mean?
Check it out.
So who are we hanging out with?
I'll tell you right after this.
Urban Culture Drive. The Urban Culture Drive takes over Kelman.
So in studio today, right,
mm-hmm,
we have guys from the team called Unscrambling Africa.
I was expecting to have a K, actually. You know, the
K.
You know,
yeah,
to, you know what I mean? But no. I got it. It's like Unscrambling Africa.
Unscrambling Africa. It's an interesting name.
A fan.
Cause
you know what I
can
mean?
Can I just say it these guys are hot? Thank you so much for inviting them to the show.
To those who are
I'm happy.
Click on the tags that we put on the pictures.
Yeah.
And you can
definitely see
look,
the talent.
These guys have their own little vibes going
absolutely
on.
Absolutely.
I'm sensing boho chic. I'm sensing hippie. I'm sensing let's just smash after the show.
Yeah, anyway, absolutely.
Going on.
But it's a representative of their trade, right?
Absolutely.
The 100%.
The beard hair. You know what I mean? It's like it's that kind of vibe. It's got that African feel / Travis Stillman. You know what I mean?
Yeah, with a hint.
And I was actually going to ask later on in the show, I'll ask them, have they met Travis Stillman? But before we get there, gentlemen, please introduce yourselves.
Guys, you should see the studio is busy. There's like so.
There's a lot happening. It's just captured from multiple angles.
I thought as the producer, I knew what the hell.
And you're not doing anything. If you don't have a 100,000 grand camera, don't talk to me.
I mean, literally,
this could film your whole life. This could set you
up. Absolutely. It can actually see the future.
Right?
Guys, a moment of professionalism. Guys, please reintroduce yourself or introduce yourself.
Yes.
Let's start with Josh.
So Josh Kisamwa from Kenya, filmmaker.
Ooh, Karibu.
Hello.
Yeah. Is it Karibu, right?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Well traveled. Hello. Right.
And well, nice one. Nice one, Craigie.
Yeah, so that's me.
Absolutely.
Oh, Mr. Kenya. Yeah.
And my brother?
I'm Mutua. Mutua from Kenya.
Ah, okay. You guys are both from Kenya.
But what do you guys do? What do you guys do? That's your name, but what do you guys do?
I'm a photographer.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then Josh?
My thing is film, through and through.
So you do the filming?
Do you do like porn films or like...
That is an industry.
Is that... Are you willing to?
Well. No, I'm not, but my thing is...
Are you open to?
No. No, I am not. My thing is to film African reality.
Okay,
got you.
And when I mean African reality is day-to-day life, real-life stories. Beautiful. I like the unscripted.
Oh, gorgeous.
Yeah. So not struggle per se, but like... the essence of day-to-day life. Because we've seen struggle. We know the struggle and we know, like, donate a dollar to an African child.
Yes.
You know, we've seen that and it's kind of boring with all due respect, you know. Yeah. But we want to see the happiness. We want to see the day-to-day... Because life does go on, essentially. Yeah. And you guys capture that and I think that's great.
So on that note, right?
Yeah.
How did the idea... Explain to us Unscrambling Africa. How did the team, first of all, meet? And then how did the idea come about?
Kind of materialize.
Yeah.
Well, I will say, okay, so I've been a photographer now maybe 8 years. Let's say eight.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I used to do is photograph Nairobi, which is my home city.
Okay.
And by starting to see, by starting to get on these rooftops to photograph Nairobi, I showed pictures and people were always like, no, that cannot be Nairobi. Mm. Nairobi is not this fly.
Yeah. It's not this elegant.
I mean, with all the power cuts we have in, you cannot have all those lights over there. You must have added them on Photoshop.
Yes.
So it was like a thing for me to
prove the difference.
Precisely.
Yeah.
To keep going back and shooting more. And people would go up to these places that I was shooting and they'd be like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Nairobi is beautiful.
Mm.
So I thought to myself, how cool will it be if I could get the opportunity to photograph more African capital cities in the same way that I've photographed Nairobi, just to put my own spin on them. And in a way, even before the name, that was where Unscrambling Africa was born.
Mm, beautiful.
And this was maybe 5 years ago. 2012 is when I did an exhibition on Nairobi, and that's when I thought, if I could do this for other cities, this would be really cool.
Yeah.
Then a few years, or maybe the same year, I think that's when we met.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't talk about that immediately, but much later, when I was thinking now this could be done with a team, I approached Josh.
So you and Josh have been close?
Yeah, we've been friends maybe, I think, from 2012. Yeah. Something like that. Yeah.
Okay.
So we spoke about the idea of having this, and then, you know, it's like more people, just everyone who is in the project now, kind of just, we just kind of found each other. So there's Joe and there's Lulu who are not with us here.
Yes.
Because they had to go back home to Nairobi. But somehow we found each other, and Lulu is an illustrator. Joe is a photographer. So together, we got together and the project got a name, which was Unscrambling Africa.
Okay.
And this to us is like an antithesis to the whole scramble and partition for Africa. The idea is maybe we could come closer as Africans by using knowledge as a tool.
Yeah.
Like if we know about each other, like things you know about, you care more about, I think. So maybe if we, you know, take interest in each other, see each other more, we might start getting concerned with what is happening in other countries, get concerned with what is happening in Kampala, in Joburg, in Durban, you know.
So this was 5 years ago when the initial idea happened.
Yes.
And then it took a series of 5 years of planning and coming up with the final concept.
Yes. In fact, the trip itself and the planning of it materialized maybe 3 years ago. Okay. I think 3 years ago, that's when it was like, okay, we're doing this. How do we do this?
So now why are you saying it's a 5-year project?
I'm saying that because from conception.
Oh, it's been okay. 5 years.
5 years from now. Yes. Not conception, not in 2012.
No. Okay, it's 5 years from now.
5 years from now, the plan is to do the whole continent. Every capital, every island. So the idea did not... It was an idea in his mind back then.
Yeah. But then it got materialized now recently.
Yes.
And it has a 5-year lifespan.
Yes.
Yeah.
With the first episode being now.
This region, yes.
Yes.
Yeah. I've always sort of said that, you know, Africa has a lot of life. And I think that's just the essence of what you guys are trying to do. And for me, from my perspective, it kind of reminds me of a page or a movement called OK Africa. I don't know if you guys know about that. I mean, they shoot the most amazing, stunning pictures of different parts of Africa and also the essence of essentially what you guys are doing. You know, did you guys get any influence from that? Or, you know, I mean, they've been around for a while.
Are you even part of that?
No, we're not part of OK Africa. Hmm? I've followed them now maybe 2 years or maybe 1 year.
Mm. And what do you
think?
Maybe
a year.
What do you
think? I like the OK Africa. Yeah. Honestly, I knew about OK Africa because of their music mixes. They used to do some weekly music something.
People dancing and, you know, showing the essence of an African culture. But now they've moved from that to actually taking videos, beautiful pictures of some of the most outstanding things I've ever, you know, pictures I've ever seen.
It's really cool when different people are doing, I think.
Would you like to be a part of something like that?
I think we already are. Let me take that one.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
I think even what brought us together is that we want to document Africa for Africans and do it excellently. And there's
African perspective as well.
Yes, exactly. That was the main thing, and it started back home. And you're like, okay, we're doing Kenya. What else can be done? Africa is beautiful, but it seems like in the last few years there are many people doing the same thing.
Yes.
And that's amazing.
Yeah.
That people thing. We just want our voices
to be heard.
Yeah.
And it's quite amazing how, as much as there's a lot of people who started adopting this culture of showcasing African talent, it's always a different story.
Exactly.
It's never the same narrative.
I think for me, OK Africa is the only thing that I would say I would critique them. I would say that they're becoming a lot more commercialized. They're becoming more certified. It's becoming like a thing. You know, it's no longer a movement to push, awareness. It's more like a movement to push commercial success. That's what I'm feeling now. You know?
Okay, let me leave that.
That's my
opinion is, at the end of the day, as much as we all have passions and talents, we need to survive on those passions and talents. And if you're seeing that passion and talent translating into a business, you can't now say, I'm going to just keep it as a passion and talent. You need to secure it to now be the business that it's transforming into, even if it was not your initial intention. Yeah. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
I mean, this is true. Let me tell you, if you can transform your passion into financial stability, that's
game.
That's the goal.
Mm. Mm.
So, and on different people sharing different things, for me, the biggest reason I'm for it more than against it is my story is that people and places are not just one thing.
Yeah.
They can never be defined as one thing. More people doing it introduces different facets of what these African cities are. And that's what we are trying to say. Even what we are doing is Unscrambling Africa. We are not saying this is what Africa is.
You know what I mean? This is my perspective of
precisely
Africa.
That's it.
We are saying, I don't know what you've seen, but this is what I see.
Precisely. This is how isn't that
if
art?
You also go and see and share. You see and share. Then we start getting a fuller picture of what can be seen.
Because after all, that is art, right? And people, us in the art or media industry, are here to tell stories. Through music, radios, pictures, documentaries. That is essentially what we're here to do, right?
That's what we're here to do.
Talking about stories, what has been through your travels? So you're traveling by car.
Yes.
From Kenya.
Yes.
all the way down, and then back.
Yes.
So what have been the most horrendous experiences that you've that you've come across, and in which country?
I think you want us to be in trouble as we're going to come.
You must share. People must know, right? It's about painting your picture.
People must
know.
First, I want to tell you that it's not as bad as people think it is. That's the first one, because when people talk about travel in Africa, you're like, oh, the borders, going to sleep in a border for 5-6 hours, oh, the roads, the potholes. I can tell you right now, you can get out into the parking lot in a city golf and you'll make it in Nairobi, to Nairobi no problem.
City golf.
Seriously?
Are you saying the roads to
Africa
are that way?
The roads from here
yeah.
to Nairobi are fine.
Fantastic. Guys, you are playing.
No. Hey.
You guys are raping the brand too much. No.
Okay.
Okay.
Last year we had a Subaru.
Yeah.
And that's another part of the story. We were already down here with the Subaru, low riding. And then Tua got hit by a car. And then now, so that's anyway another chapter. But about horrendous. No, guys.
Yeah.
The roads are fine. Africa is beautiful. I think we are. Somebody said something. We're very hospitable. We're very open to.
What is it? We are not capitalists, but we are very loving and giving people by nature. Yeah. But now you still haven't answered me. What was the most horrendous experience? Because clearly the roads are okay.
Yeah.
It's not as bad. So what was your bad experience? Let's start with Josh.
Listen, we've slept on the side of the road. That's no one's fault. It's the car.
Right.
That broke down.
That is not an experience.
Okay, let me be honest. Can we be honest?
Has been the worst, and what happened?
First, dude, you said you'd go easy.
Now
he's making it hard. Honestly, for me, we had a bit of issues with getting into Mozambique.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that was not necessarily horrendous. What happened was we didn't apply for a visa. We arrived at the border. And we're told, no, you have to go back to either Pretoria or
Nelspruit.
And we're like, no, we need
to. And at this point, we were not even driving our car. We were taking a bus. Because we couldn't.
So in the bus,
they
took you out of the bus and said the bus can continue, but you two must stay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
So almost like the Swaziland experience we had
at
the border.
Once
so we get to the border. And then, as we are about to cross, they're like, where's your insurance papers? I'm like, what insurance papers?
Exactly. Insurance.
Insurance papers for what? We struggled there for like 3 hours, 4 hours?
It's about it was an hour of arguing and then 30 minutes of relief. And then,
like,
but also, I was, because this was my first time traveling. So, you know, it was a bit weird at first. And immediately after that, I had another traveling issue where I was supposed to go to Bali, but my passport was expiring within 6 months, and I didn't go. But the third trip that I went to, which eventually was amazing, I traveled to Africa. So I went from here to Ethiopia. I don't know if you guys have photographed Ethiopia before, or you're intending to, but that was stunning.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, okay, excluding the airports, guys. African airports are horrendous. I'm warning you, anyone who's planning to travel to Africa via plane.
So you say Lanseria is...
You don't understand how fortunate South Africans are. You know what I mean?
Are we? Let's talk to the guys who traveled.
Man, I don't know if we want to go there.
Yeah.
No, let's go there.
Should we?
Yeah, let's go there.
Are you giving us permission?
Absolutely.
Yes, give us a perspective. You've traveled. How else are we going to know what's happening out there without knocking?
Definitely. I mean, if we're talking about airports, you have a beautiful airport.
Yeah, we do.
Proper.
You have a nice top notch.
Holistically,
I feel South Africa is very complex. Extremely complex.
How so? This is interesting.
And to be very, very sensitive.
Yeah.
Let me start.
No, say it. You see, we are unscripted.
Yeah.
We are unscripted. Say it raw.
I need to be politically correct.
Okay, let me put out a question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And recently I sort of got an answer, but not really.
Mm.
I said, what country is named based on a location? South Africa.
Yeah.
There's East Africa, there's North Africa, there's North America, there's South America.
But within that, there's Burundi, there's Rwanda, but here it's South Africa.
Mm.
And then the same time I'm sort of thinking about that.
Don't worry, just relax.
I've been told I'm emotional, so yeah. You can.
I can see you. You get it.
I'm really, and you know, it is so personal. You have no idea.
Mm. Oh.
This whole journey is not a. Somebody called it Hakuna Matata thing.
Yeah.
It is extremely serious and touchy.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking about South Africa as South Africa.
Yeah.
And then the same year we're here, Swaziland has decided, no, we're not Swaziland. We're Iswatini. Iswati.
Yeah, Swat. I'm a Swat.
So they know. They've already decided, guys, no, we're Iswati.
Yeah.
And yet... the mother, which is outside here, is still South Africa.
Yes.
When people leave South Africa, they say, oh, I'm going to Africa. And I'm like, what continent?
True. We always say that. We always
what
say
continent
we're going
are
to
you
Africa.
On? What do you mean? It's my first time in Africa. You live on this continent.
You live in this continent.
What are you talking about? And that's just, of course, scratching the surface.
Yeah, of course.
There's much, much more, guys.
So... I don't want to be too controversial, right?
Yeah.
So in essence, it's unscripted. But I'm trying also because I'm trying to pick the because Josh is saying, but he's not saying.
Yeah.
You understand? So I'm trying to decipher what he's saying.
Yeah.
So Africa in general, it has wonderful countries that you guys have traveled and you've seen, right?
Yeah.
In terms of the experience of those countries in your travels. And your short time being there, what is it that separates those countries from South Africa? And is it in a good or in a bad way?
Other than the airport.
Yes, other than... in terms of the country, the people, the environment, the cities, the culture, you know, the in terms of everything, how, in your travels, which of those countries, how have you experienced that in relation to South Africa? And is it a good... or a bad experience? Your total and honest opinion.
Honestly, most of the countries I think I've felt are extremely different.
Mm.
Extremely, but...
similarities.
Some similarities, but very, very different in the way people behave. Like, you can even see it on the border when you cross from... I think the most similar experience I felt was, like, Namibia.
Mm.
Into SA. Like, there was very little difference between the Namibia side
and the SA side.
But say Mozambique. You cross from the SA side, you know, you have this clean border crossing that even has toilets that are clean and all that.
Mm.
And then you cross over into Mozambique and the bottle starts there.
Yeah.
I got you.
It's rural.
And the toilets are locked, which you have to pay for.
Yeah.
The cops start
questioning.
You know, yes.
So
some of these differences are very clear.
Mm.
The main thing I'd say, like, let me say the main difference, because I always keep saying that I feel like Joburg and Nairobi have quite interesting, like, parallels.
Yeah.
Okay.
And most people who are from Joburg, when they come to Nairobi, also say that they feel...
like almost like at home.
Yes, exactly. Mm. Like Nairobi gives them that feeling that they get...
in Joburg.
Mm. And I believe this to be true, because when I'm in Joburg, I also feel that thing that, okay, I feel like there's a similarity and a familiarity that is here. And at the same time, there's a big difference. In Nairobi, we are used to the government not working for us.
Mm-hmm.
So we, people in, not just Nairobi, but people in Kenya hustle hard. And that's why I think you find Kenyans in almost every... country in Africa that you go to, you'll find a Kenyan with a shop, with like a kiosk somewhere selling milk, because they'd rather do that than not do anything. And that hustle, I feel, is different here in Southern Africa. Is different from, say, back home. That's one big difference I've felt.
You guys are being very politically correct here. So in essence, let me say this. In terms of racial issues, right? How have you experienced them in SA versus in the other African countries? Do you feel more welcome this side than there? Or do you feel more welcome there than here? And why? Like,
Let me answer.
You're not
traveling
Africa.
Let me take this one in the simplest way that I can.
Yes.
Based on what I think I've felt. Number one, Justin Ese, definitely most welcome in Joburg, say opposed to Cape Town.
No, all of us.
And rural, and like rural Ese. Like, yeah, like last year driving from Joburg to Cape Town, we had to sleep in some small cities on the way.
On the way.
Yeah. And it's where you've called, booked. Kind of booked a room, said we'll be there. Then by the time you come, when you can see the way someone comes out.
The other thing
that we were discussing in the car, I don't know at which point, I can't remember. You see, like in Kenya, we also have extreme disparity between the rich and the poor.
Yes.
Is it very also racially gap. Based?
But now you've preempted me. That's the difference.
Mm.
In
it's,
Kenya,
there's no race.
It's black on black.
Oh, yes. Gotcha. Okay.
But there's a very big difference.
Yeah. Wow.
Like the rich
so
are
is
extremely
it more,
rich.
Is it more socioeconomically based?
Yeah.
Socioeconomically based.
In Kenya than it is in SA.
So it's more about like class. It's
yes,
class.
Exactly. In Kenya, there's it is class. Now the difference is when I am here in SA, I feel like that difference it's is smart. Not just financial, but it's also racial.
Mm.
And so it makes things a little bit more complicated. And I've noticed this in Namibia also. Like it makes, it starts to make things a lot more complicated. And we're asking ourselves with Josh in the car, like, I don't know which is better. That it's still the same. Economical.
Yes.
Like there's a very big difference.
Yes.
Very big gap. But in Kenya, it's black on black. Here, it's very obviously white versus black.
So give us an example in terms of the discrimination in Kenya. So let's say we're both black. What would be the disparities between the two of us?
It's actually interesting.
I'd be rich. Yeah. I'd live in a bigger house. You live in the ghetto.
So and then another thing is we have to be careful. Is that discrimination?
Am I more educated?
No. Is that so? It's
tribal discrimination.
Yes, in Kenya we have tribal. Yes.
That's what we have. We have 45, 46 tribes.
My goodness,
it's more now.
Oh my God! That's room for
it's more than
animosity.
45.
Yeah.
Wow.
Speaking more than, definitely more than 70 languages.
So why do we always floss about the fact that we have 11 official languages?
Let me tell you, this has happened a lot on this trip, and people say, you know, we have 12 languages, 11 languages,
you're
and I'm like,
or
like
and you guys are
and that guys
are
like, well,
45.
That's cute.
That's very cute.
But we have 45 languages.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I mean, why do you think, why aren't you guys on the map when it comes to that? Is it just awareness on that? Do we floss more about it? Do we put it out there?
You definitely, you guys definitely floss more about it.
Yeah.
Craig, what do I think for me, okay, just on my trip to Ethiopia, I remember that they have a lot of languages. It's ridiculous. And their months are like 13 months. So they're technically like 7 years behind, which is very bizarre.
Whoa.
Yeah, so it's still 2011 there.
Don't fucking
I'm
lie.
I'm telling you.
What?
Yeah.
It's actually quite true.
What?
Yeah. It's still 2011 there. You know what I mean?
How does that work?
You gotta
they have their own
me.
Calendar.
Yeah, they have Craig. Their own calendar.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's
so do we all subscribe when you go there? You subscribe to that specific calendar. Let's
say
have a meeting.
Yeah.
So
the moment that you're there, but remember the airports are
international,
so it's one thing. But the moment you're there and you live, you're still in 2011, fam. So you can go back. I'm technically still 23.
Yeah.
The moment I go back,
in time.
To thingy, I'm still 23. Which would be fabulous. But anyway, guys, I want to ask you something a little bit more lighthearted.
Yeah.
I can see you're very diplomatic, correct, and
yeah,
everything.
Yeah.
And
sure,
I love
guys.
That. You know, I love Africans. They do that. They tend to.
They stick to their guns.
They stick to their guns. You know.
Before you ask, is it because of Marano, it's fine.
I want to understand the concept of you guys moving from such a reserved, I'd say conservative environment to South Africa, where we have a lot of homosexuals. Literally, I mean, that must be one of the things that a lot of Africans, when I traveled to Zanzibar and Tanzania and Ethiopia, that's stuff that no one wants to talk about. And you guys are exploring Africa, unscrambling. You know, what was your experience unscrambling that part specifically? I mean, when you went to Cape Town, that's capital gay city of Africa. You're in Joburg. We are out here painting it pink. So what was your experience of that? And what did you, how did it make you feel?
Are you taking it? I mean, honestly, can I don't know whether it's bad to say that. For me, I feel like it made no difference.
So you don't think homosexuality is an African?
I think I don't. No, I don't. First of all,
okay.
Because I rarely think of things as being African or not.
Okay.
Having an identity.
It's a question that I'm always asking when we say that's an African. What does that even mean?
Okay.
Is there a set of regulations that you have to tick to be like, okay, this is African. It has tribal marks. Okay, check. It has a language that you don't understand.
Yes.
Okay, check. Like, what is it?
Okay.
That is African, what isn't? And so for me, depending on how you come, it's either going to be a good time or not.
I see. In other words, we can be friends, but don't get too close. I see.
I don't think that's what you're saying.
Yeah. Okay, I hear what you're saying.
Of course,
I get what you're saying.
About it being more conservative.
Yeah.
For sure, it is.
Yes. For sure, yes.
As you go further up, it's definitely more conservative.
Extreme,
but not just further up. Like East Africa,
we're very harsh about it.
Yeah,
but it's not like it doesn't exist.
It's quite.
And here it's more open.
Yeah,
aren't we the only country in Africa?
I think
that has allowed gay marriages.
I would absolutely say so.
I feel like I read a stat where we're like the only country
the only
in
one.
Africa.
There's no way.
That allows openly gay marriages.
Yeah, I don't think we have.
You know. Yeah, because I mean, like, I remember also something very interesting about Zanzibar.
Yeah.
So Zanzibar has beautiful islands, Nungwi and Kandwa, which are stunning, But literally a minute walk away from that is the most extreme poverty. Like, it's ridiculous.
Yes.
And they're very conservative. So they practice a Muslim culture. Mm. Like, you can't wear shorts. So they will tell you.
Please
respect.
Yeah.
And you'll find that one guy is married to like four women. And he's a taxi driver.
So polygamy
it's an okay thing there.
I can't say it's an African thing, but on that note,
we can say this.
Let's take a quick break and then we'll be right back after this. Vincent, all of these youth is wilding. So all of these juice inspiring. Never gonna lose my timing. But you produce these diamonds. Young man. I really know how it feels, yo. Sister, stomach in, sister. We was the ears of the new school. Charged up, no batteries. That was way before you knew. When I'm from page in a magazine. AKA done did a hell of a number.
Another remix, another stolen song, another stolen tune. Yes, go on.
I'm a hater, Akwele.
Well,
I'm a hater.
Guys,
you can
only hate someone who you're in the same level.
Guys, you understand what art is creating. Do you understand that artistry, it's the form of creation.
Telling
a story.
Art is like stealing
something. AKA is always taking it to the next realm.
Art is just taking someone else's idea and making it your own just by paraphrasing it in your own way.
Hey, you know, that's why you're a PhD candidate. Who's doing accounting. You can't understand this thing.
I do, actually. Have you been to my apartment? Hello?
Oh, colors. That's color.
That's art, boy. Darling.
Yeah, that's
art.
Color.
Anyway,
that's
let's color. Get back to the people that know real art.
Yes. The reason we are here today. So, before the break, we were talking cross-country, right? Then treatment in other countries. And we touched on SA being the racial thing,
right.
Being evident,
yeah.
and the only only similarities is the economic scales between us SA and Upper Africa. But I wanted to ask, when you cross borders, right, because of this tribalism that's happening in the Upper African countries and the cross country fights that are happening, would you say you are welcomed when you get there? Do you feel welcomed or do you feel threatened? Is it is it really safe to travel through Africa and feel safe?
And where do you identify best? Like, are you top class or are you?
When you travel. Yeah, when you travel.
Where would you identify yourself as?
Yeah, I mean, just by virtue of being able to take a car and travel down, it's not lost on me that, you know, we have. Some sort
privilege.
Of privilege to be able
of
to
course.
Do that.
For starters, why? Let's point that out.
Why we are privileged?
Yes.
Because I think it also takes some financial capacity to travel the way we do.
Okay.
Yes.
Though, I must say, that's not... The way we are traveling is not the only way to travel.
Yes.
We've met... On this trip, we've kept meeting people at backpackers. Well, most of them are white. But we meet people at backpackers who are just using public transport.
Okay.
And, you know, they fly into maybe Nairobi. And they're going and they're spending months on these trips they're doing. The unfortunate thing is that in most backpackers around that we've been to, whether in Malawi or...
Yes.
We are just, we find ourselves to be the only Africans there.
Got you.
Interesting.
Blacks or Africans?
No, actually the only blacks.
Got you.
Yeah. That are there. Everyone else.
So there's a form of privilege there in terms of
I think so.
You would place yourself.
Yeah. I just have two questions quickly. When you're doing this entire trip, I mean, I'm thinking you're Cape to Cairo. Mm. How are you, number one, how are you planning to have sex? Number two,
yes.
Number two, how do you take a like when you want to take like go to a bathroom? Is it like, do you actually do it the African way? Put it that way. Like, how does these are things that we need to. Okay, yeah. Let's start with the sex.
Especially since you guys are driving.
And I mean, also, do you guys just smash wherever you?
You know what I mean when you're partying out there.
Because in my mind,
vibe,
I
or
would
do you just smash each other.
Okay, smash your way through Africa, honey.
So that's a road trip idea.
Yeah. Just wear a condom, I mean.
Please.
How's that experience?
No, we have it. We listen. Because
you guys are good-looking men, of course.
So, what happens?
We are extremely married. Like, heavily
I see the rings.
Are you serious?
The rings,
wait, let me see the rings.
But why is...
I see one ring and it's not on the left hand.
It's not on the left, so it's like a...
But now, doesn't that take a strain?
So you guys are you're both married?
Yes.
Oh, and then traditionally or like
married,
proper like
each other.
Before God married?
Got you.
Both. Got you. Before God, traditionally, otherworldly,
so
we're
you guys
married.
Are sitting here looking at us with at our big ages and you telling us that at no point is there an urge.
I mean,
urges are a human thing.
Smash. Yeah,
but whether you follow through or act or act.
But you guys are men, which puts you aside immediately.
But also understand the wives are listening, so honey.
Actually, we're not like that.
Okay.
We are honestly, if your marriage is like that, then we are very open about it. It's not like I don't call home and like,
Mazé
today.
Because, I mean, look, it's been... Today is day 75. Mm-hmm. So this is 75 days
of being away from home.
Yeah.
Yes.
And obviously...
So, I mean, it's tough.
Mm.
But honestly, just like he said, for me, if I'm to speak for myself, like if I wanted to... if I wanted to just smash anyone that I could,
of course.
I wouldn't be married.
Mm. I got you.
That's just what I believe.
So then I think with Kenyan people is they
we don't
view marriage
Kenyans.
As
you speak for yourself.
We're not doing
for myself.
Yeah. Speaking of that, are you guys religious or spiritual?
Good question.
Good question, actually.
Religious or spiritual? Nah, I don't want to. I don't think any of those apply.
So,
because, and my definition is when you're religious,
you subscribe to a teaching.
And
when you're spiritual, it's more energy driven, you're more attached
to it. It's very tricky to say that. Yeah. So, whether, you know, do I believe in God? Yes.
No,
am I religious?
It's not per se believing in God. It's.
So, not to take it to church, right?
Okay.
But what I'm getting at is. So in art, there's a sense of
freedom,
embodiment. Like you essentially break the rules or norms or you know, social things, and a lot of that is based on the lines of religion and spiritual, succumbing to a certain belief. And when you come as an artist traveling through Africa doing certain things, it's seen as taboo or whatnot. In so how do you as an individual deal with that? What is your outlook and perspective when you do your arts? Do you, you know, is it borderline with a belief or, and if it is a belief, what belief is it? You get what I'm saying?
Yeah. I think I'll say that what I've realized, why I think people say that you cannot be an artist if you're not being rebellious or something like that. I understand that notion, but then again, I reject the notion, because this is also based on the same people's set of what is normal and what is not.
Yes.
Gotcha.
So it doesn't matter whether, even for people who doesn't matter what they believe in, whether they are Buddhist or they are atheists, they still have their own set of beliefs, which if you don't live by, mm-hmm. then you're either
an outcast.
Yeah. So the thing is, what I've realized for myself is that it's important that I have something that I want to say with my art, and whatever it is that I want to say, I keep saying that.
Yes.
And that's what,
because that's a reflection of who you are and what you believe and see.
And in that way, for me, I've found a lot of inspiration in just the idea of understanding that I am not the master of myself.
Yes.
That there's
a higher
someone
power.
Bigger than me who created me, who is in so much more control. And for me, I feel like that is a lot more freeing than attempting to take control of everything and direct it in a way that I want it to go.
Beautiful, beautiful.
So that's my worldview.
And it doesn't suggest bias, because usually when we talk about religion and spirituality, it introduces some sort of bias.
So
and our outlook is very neutral,
open,
and open-minded.
So just to put into place, when I speak with Mina, when my concept of religion and spirituality is that spirituality is unbiased. You can be Buddha, you can be Islamic. There's a sense of belief that connects all of us. A sense of higher being that connects all of us. That's what I refer to as spirituality.
Okay. Yeah.
When you start coming with religion, that's when now you're saying, I'm a Buddha, I'm an Islam. Yes. And then you succumb to a set
of rules. Absolutely. And I think we do this and we don't do this.
And I don't succumb. And so I'm saying, as artists, we don't succumb to that.
Yeah.
There's a certain thing we just... We just want to show and tell.
Absolutely. Yeah. And when you guys relax, like, you know, other than the whole spiritual thing, when you guys take a chill pill, like you're driving, do you get high? If you do, which country that you've been in has the best blunt? You're like, oh my gosh, this is... If you do. And and what do you guys like to drink? I've had a few African beers. I mean, I must say, I love...
If you do drink.
If you do drink, you know. Yeah. So how do you guys chill out?
Let me... take this one.
I love that. Recommend, please. Recommend.
No. Let me not start with recommendations. Let me start by saying, when people meet Mtua and I, they assume that he's the crazy, you know, with the hair.
With the hair. Yeah,
it's the hair talent.
I'm like at the back, same, the father, and all that. But this guy,
it's a flip.
He's the adult in this relationship.
Really?
Oh, wow.
And everywhere we go.
That's surprising.
Everywhere we go, people are like, Rasta, we have Malawi gold, we have Swazi gold.
And you be like, everyone. Everyone.
Oh, wow.
I think they're
and he's like, I don't smoke, period.
Yeah.
Not blunt, not cigarette.
Nothing. Not even hookah.
What's that? What's that? Oh, the shisha thing.
Yeah, shisha.
No, nothing.
No. In fact, interestingly, shisha has been banned. It's now illegal in Nairobi.
I saw that.
Yeah. Yes,
I saw the better some girl who does the cigar thing. But anyway.
So how do you guys chill?
So clearly, you blunt up.
I actually don't smoke.
Oh.
But I do. I am a whiskey man. I enjoy my whiskey.
There we go, honey.
And it's actually the only thing I drink.
Okay.
Nothing else. Beer, wine, nothing.
So obviously we can't compare.
On the rocks?
No, actually, I like a little bit of
dash water.
Just something to.
And then you
got
for me, it's a beer. Like I've been able, like now, it's been interesting just going and enjoying different beers.
Yes.
Of the country.
Mm. So and which one?
So far, my favorite has been Maluti in Lesotho.
Maluti to Lesotho, interesting.
You were just in Lesotho now, right?
Yeah, we just came from Lesotho 2 days ago.
Oh. Anyway. I'm telling you, your best life. Living
I'm
your best life.
You.
So don't you guys, do you generate revenue from this? I mean, let's
how
be
do you
realistic.
Sponsor it first before we close? How do you sponsor the trip and how you, and what is your biggest gain? What are you hoping to achieve with this? Like in a quick 1 minute, 2 minute wrap up.
Okay. So far, financially, we originally we put this on Kickstarter.
Okay.
We crowdfunded the project, and the people funded it. People, it's like people pre-bought a photography book, and a coloring book that we're going to put out at the end of the project,
which is 5 years from now.
No. Not at the end. Like we're doing that
in phases.
Phase. So we're going to have a Southern Africa coloring book.
Yeah.
And also, who's the largest consumer of your books? Are these Kenyan people? Or African people per se?
Or international?
Yes. Actually, the good thing was that majority, I think 40% maybe of the people who contributed and bought the book were Kenyan.
Got you.
And then
the rest was
international. We are going to put out the stats, but the rest was another large number from African countries. Yeah. Then obviously, the West.
Oh, yeah. Beautiful.
Gentlemen, it has been, we'll definitely continue the conversation off air, some of us.
Yeah.
But it's been a lovely.
Yeah, it's been exciting. It's and been interesting. Really interesting to
and
just
informative.
Listen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully we didn't make you too uncomfortable.
Yeah, that was not the intention at all, guys.
Just no, a no. bit.
Yeah.
As in, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know that's what we're trying to
do. Yeah, that's a good thing. It was good.
We're not trying to be same question like you're on Power FM the other day and ask you the very same questions. No.
Yeah.
We're trying to get Jews. We're trying to get something else. But on that note, guys, love and light and closing comments, Craig.
Travel Africa, it's stunning. Stunning,
it is stunning.
Candice?
Africa Unite.
And the brothers of Unscramble Africa. Closing comments.
Closing comments.
Josh.
One liners.
Africa. Africans documenting Africa for Africans.
Yes.
There we One go. Love, there we go.
Unity.
Fabulous.
And I'll say, take an interest in your neighbors.
Yeah.
Formulate your own opinions about the countries that are around you.
Beautiful.
And we're going to close up with another pioneer of the artistry. Do enjoy. Catch us next week. Same time, same place. Love and light. We out. CliffCentral.com.